Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
So good. I want to just share some principles that God gave me about this tonight, about for all of us, if you really want to know the truth. I love the Word of God when it fits all of us every day. We can use the Word of God on about everything. I find that people who live by the Word of God are very prosperous. And I find that people who do not live by the Word of God are not very prosperous, frustrated, discouraged. You'll find their lives are out of sync. Their families are in disarray. And so living by the Word of God is very important. And you've heard people say that to you all your life. But sometimes we just don't realize how simple it is to follow the things of God. Tonight, I just want to share with you a little basic principle, just something that I found out as an old man that I found out really does work. And it's so simple, yet so profound. Let me make a statement to you, if I may. What would it be like if I said to you that we could share something so simple with you tonight that you can apply it easily in your life? And not only apply it in your life, if you do, you're going to get blessed. Your family's going to get blessed. Your children and your children's children's going to get blessed. Isn't that good? I mean, if I could say something simple, sometimes we come into the house of God and we're looking for something that's so deep and so mystical and so, you know, so out there that it's hard to believe, hard to apply. But this is so simple tonight. In fact, what I'm going to share with you is a thread that goes through every successful person's life in the Bible. If you find someone in the Bible that is successful, like whoever it might possibly be, Joseph, you want to think about Joseph for a moment. You want to think about David for a moment, Elijah and Elisha for a moment, Jeremiah, well, whoever it might be. And then you go jumping over the New Testament, Peter, Paul, James, John, all the people that are there, just magnificent, just wonderful things. There is one common thread through every person in the Bible that is successful. And that's such a simple principle I wanted to share with you tonight. It's the principle, literally, of faithfulness. One thing I can say to you is that God is looking for people who are faithful. It doesn't sound very exciting. It's not one of those messages you kind of jump up and shout. But there's a divine law that is attached to faithfulness. A divine law. God looks for people who will simply, their yes is yes and their no is no. And my goodness, I found out something that is so important for all of us. I found out that God's not only looking for people who are faithful, but God really uses people who are faithful. And I found out, listen to this, I like this part. God really blesses the people and their families that are faithful. Isn't it a simple thought? Just somebody that's going to say yes to something and stick with their yes. And someone says, well, I was faithful for a little while, but I wasn't faithful for very long. Can I tell you something? Faithfulness has nothing to do with timing. It has to do with whether or not your heart's going to stay in where it needs to be and be there for a long period of time. I've known so many people over the years. They may not be the greatest scholars. They may not know the Greek and the Hebrew. May not have, you know, the greatest insight in the Word of God. But one thing you could do, you can count on them. When they say something, wow, it's going to be there. They're going to follow through with it. And I wanted to share with you four little things tonight that you can write down, you can apply in your life on an everyday basis. I love that part. And listen to this. And you can do something with it. You can use it for the betterment of your family, your home, your children, finances, dream, vision, whatever it is. Just four little principles about faithfulness. Is that okay? I could give you 40. But I don't think you'd like me after 40, so I'll give you four. Is that okay? And if you can remember just a couple of these four, you're going to get blessed and you'll start to remember these things. Number one, I wanted to mention to you is this, is that things to know about faithfulness. Number one, God is our example of faithfulness. As an old man, I've been serving the Lord for a lot of years. We go back a long time, a lot of messages. We've preached a lot of things, read a lot of Greek, read a lot of Hebrew. I mean, just really got into the Word of God. Debbie and I were so devastated as young people. We didn't have anything. We didn't know how we were going to make it. You know, when we first got married, I'd lost my job right off the bat. God had a plan. I couldn't figure out what his plan was. Anybody ever been there? You know God has a plan, but you sure as heck can't figure it out. Well, that's where I was. And Debbie, we didn't know where we were going, what we're doing, how we're going to make it. And one of the things that we found out is that after all of these years, I can look back and tell you one thing that God, here's one thing that I know for sure, that God is a faithful God. He doesn't run off and forget me. He doesn't make a promise to me and not fulfill that promise. In fact, God made promises and has made promises to all of us. And you know what? He wants to fulfill those promises. Actually, he's waiting for us to get in the right position in order to get those promises fulfilled, because God is a faithful God. I tell you, as older I get, the more I get a joy out of the fact that my example in life is the greatness of God and his faithfulness. He's a God that's there when I needed him. He's a God that was there when I needed him to heal me. He was a God that spoke to me. Even though horrible tragedies have happened in people's lives, I've seen him come through and heal the people. I've seen him take care of and open the eyes. I've seen him get the lame walking. I've seen him do great, mighty, marvelous miracles. I'm talking about a miracle-working God. Can you imagine this? That is faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to you. He's faithful in his love. I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people that aren't faithful. I think I've married a couple of them along the road when I was a young man. You know what I'm talking about, some of you. You know, and you, they make all kinds of promises to you, and then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, they're gone. They ran off with somebody else or did something else. And it's just like the craziest thing in the world. We have a whole world in our life of people who are not faithful as examples, but there's one you can put your heart on. There's one you can know assuredly. There's one you can go to the bank on. I want you to know something. You remember the bank, the Security Pacific? Does anybody ever remember it? Raise your hand if you remember it. Where is Security? How about Mutual? What was it called? Washington Mutual. Whatever happened to Washington Mutual? Come on. Here's one you can go to the bank on. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a faithful God who loves you. He's there in tough times, and he's there for you all the time. I love the word of God. I'm just going to pop it up on the overhead for you. Deuteronomy 7 chapter and verse number 9 is kind of cool. Let's take a look at it together. And it says, therefore, know. You know, when the Bible makes a statement like no, I better know something. God wants me to get it down on the inside. He doesn't want me just to flippantly forget about it. He doesn't want me just to look the other way. He says these words, therefore. In other words, there's something you ought to know, and you and I ought to know something. Know that the Lord your God, he is. Can somebody say that next word? He's who? He's God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The faithful God who keeps covenant mercy for us. And I love this next part. Listen to this. 1,000 generations. You know, I'm part of that 1,000 generation. That God hadn't looked the other way because it was in those days that he made it. He is faithful to 1,000 generations. You're in that 1,000. Your children's children are in that 1,000 generation. God hasn't gone away. God hasn't gone to the other side. God hasn't taken a vacation, you know, here today and gone to Maui. Let me tell you something about God. God is here, and he remembered to 1,000 generations. You can know that God is a faithful God. You can put your heart in God. You can trust God. He wants to do great, mighty things. I love that 1,000 generation. To those, but here's a catch to it, to those who love him and keep his commandments. Can I just ask a question? Is there a catch 22? Does anybody know what I mean by a catch 22? In other words, here's the promise, but here's also the thing that has to go along with it. And there's got to be some relationship of love, isn't there? And there's got to be a wanting and a desire to keep his commandments. You can't just keep living your life. You can't live your way and all that kind of stuff and expect him to be faithful to you. In other words, if you're not faithful to him, he's not faithful to you. And a lot of people get frustrated with God. They say, oh my goodness, what about God? He allowed this, he allowed that, he could have stopped that, it could have stopped that. But did you ever stop and think about what kind of a condition the world is that he could have stopped? Oh my goodness, were they faithful to him? Were they keeping his covenant? Were they people of loving him? Of course not. Therefore, there's no responsibility for God to be faithful. But if you're somebody who loves God, how easy is that? And somebody who learns what he says and start applying it in your life to the best of your ability, he'll be faithful to you. Somebody ought to give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't that a cool thing? I love this verse in 1 Kings 8th chapter, verse number 56. And here we find this, just pop it up, in 1 Kings. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Listen, when there's a promise of God, sometimes we stop and we question it. We say, I hear it, I know the promise, but I don't feel it. I don't see it on the inside. I'm not sure he's really there. I'm not sure he's coming through. Listen to what he says, and this hasn't changed at all. To his people, he promised, there has not, well, listen to this, failed one word of his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses. And you can look back at thousands of years and not one word has ever failed. Someone says, I don't know if there's a God. Come on, we have a book of thousands of years of example, prophetic utterance that has been there, that it proves that God is faithful. What he said, he will do. He will love those that love him. He'll draw near to you if you draw near to him. Come on, somebody. So our example right off the bat, every single day, is the faithfulness of our God himself. And he's looking for a people like you and I to be faithful also. Number two, let's take a look at this. I like this because we're talking about things to know about faithfulness. Number two, faith, I love this. Faithfulness is tested with the small things. And really, faithfulness is developed in the small things. The Bible makes it very clear, don't despise the big, small beginnings. But you know, sometimes we're gonna see how faithful we are by what we do. And God's looking at just the very small things oftentimes that no one's around, no one sees, no one really ever considers whatsoever. These small things are so important. I was meditating this and I thought about David, here he is. He's with his dad. You've heard me tell this story before, and with his dad's sheep on the hills of Judea. You know, and the hills of Judea are just outside of Jerusalem. It kind of shows how wealthy his family was because that's a prime grazing land right outside of Jerusalem. It sells on the hills of Judea. And he's with the sheep. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but his dad's got a lot of sheep. And you stop and you think about, first of all, he's the youngest, and maybe he's been picked on by his brothers. You could see that obviously in scripture that they put him down on a big scale. And here's David out there watching the sheep, and he is faithful to tend these sheep. You know, sometimes if I was out there, I might not tend the sheep very good. How about you? Those little things go around, get themselves stuck in creeks, get themselves stuck in little briar bushes. They're never staying where they need to stay. They drink lousy water. They get sick all the time. And here's David. He's watching these sheep. And his dad's got a lot of them. And here comes the lion and the bear. And I love this story because I can just picture it with all of my heart. Here's a lion and bear coming in. They're coming in at night, you know, to prey upon the little lambs and the little sheep. Well, if a lion came in and you and I were out there and my daddy had a lot of sheep, we'd probably both agree, let the lion have the sheep. Dad will never know. Who gives a big flip, you know? Here comes a bear. Let him have one too. Just leave the rest of us. That way, tonight we'll have some peace. They're going to come and go. But he doesn't. The Bible says he grabs a hold of that lion by its beard. Man, and he kills that lion and he kills that bear. He will not let his dad lose that little sheep. That's faithfulness. You know, when he fought that battle, don't you know he caught the eyes of God, caught the heart of God? And God had seen him as the future one. If he'd be faithful to those little things of taking care of the sheep, he would be somebody who'll take care of Israel. Oh, oftentimes we don't know about the little things. We pass on the little things. We get discouraged. We see them as unimportant, my friends. And when you see something as unimportant because it's little, let me tell you something, that's what God's looking for, is somebody who will take care of the little things in life. It's those little things. Oftentimes, some people can't even go to church on a regular basis. They go for a few weeks and then they stop and then they go for a few weeks. You can't count on them for anything. They sign up for something and don't come and, you know, they complain about this and complain about that. And we've all experienced people like that. Just the little things. Some people make commitments at the beginning of the year saying, this year I'm going to tithe. And they can't even keep that past January. All of a sudden things arise. But it's those little things in your heart that you just fight through, that you keep going. It's important. Never see something little as something little. It's a big thing to see whether or not you're going to accomplish it through faithfulness, and then God will give you the bigger things. And so oftentimes we want the big things, important things, before we're faithful on the little things. And God tests us in the little things, doesn't he? It's those things that you don't think much about, that you maybe no one can see, especially in the wee hours at night when God spoke to you and said, I want you to get up and pray. I hate it when God tells me to get up and pray in the middle of the night. I mean, I always say, Lord, talk to Debbie. And, you know, I do. And I'm just bad about that. And all for years and years and decades, I've heard the woman up praying all night long. And I'm saying, God, listen to her prayer as I roll over, you know. And it's the little things that really we miss out on oftentimes. And God would have us to realize that. It's so important for us to see. Listen to what it says in Luke 19, chapter verse 17. It says this. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in the very little, listen to this, have authority over 10 cities. Before you get the big, you gotta learn to be faithful in the little. Let me say it again. Before you get the big, you gotta be faithful in the little. The other day I was out at the food lines and I saw how many people were there. I remember when we started the food lines. I didn't start the food lines. I wasn't spiritual enough to be in the food lines, to start the food lines. My wife, Debbie, she had a pickup truck. I had a little blue pickup truck, and a couple of girls from the church, they'd get together, and they would have bags of rice and bags of beans. And they would go, I mean, she would go downtown San Bernardino. I'm talking about the ghetto part of San Bernardino. Today you go down there, you're dead. And she'd go down there and she'd knock on all the doors, her and these other girls. And I would say, oh Lord, man, I gotta get an insurance policy on that woman because I need to have some money if you're gonna take her home. And so that's where I was at, you know what I mean? Some help me, somebody pray for me. And so she's down there, and that's how this food ministry started, literally passing out beans. And she'd go door to door and say, you want some? We have rice and beans. That's all we had. That's all the money we could afford. We had like, you know, 20 bucks a month. So we'd go get free rice and free beans, and we'd go knock on doors. I say we because she's me. I did it through her. You remember how the Bible says we're one flesh? And so the woman's side of me went down there and she would knock on the doors and they'd come out and she'd give them rice and beans. She said, if you want to ride to church, we'll pick you up. That's how we started this. And all of a sudden, I see the bus ministry picks up 26,000 people. I see the food ministry feeding thousands of people. And we don't just feed people, my friends. I mean, they have carts full of food. They got stuff. These people are dragging food like this out of the place. And I'm thinking, man, God, they're in worse shape than me. And they got a bigger bag than I could ever handle. It's amazing. If you're not small, if you're not faithful in the small, you'll never get the big. Can I say something? It's the same thing with finances. If you're not faithful in the small things, to do the things that are right, then don't expect to ever get control of or have blessings in the big things in finances. The Bible makes it very clear. If you can't even handle the little things, you'll never get the big things. Third point for tonight. Are you okay with me? Are you all right? I'd have better, you know, I'm really insecure. Are you all right with me? Yeah. Okay, third thing tonight, I like this one. Things to know about faithfulness. Faithfulness brings pleasure to God and blessings to your family. Now just stop and think about that. Everybody in this room wants to be blessed. If I asked you, anybody in here that doesn't, don't raise your hand. Anybody in here that doesn't want to be blessed and you raised your hand, we'd have to cast the devil out of you right after church service. Because you would not only be dumb, you'd be filled with the devil with stupidity. And I believe this, all of us want to be blessed and we want to please God. I don't know about you, but I think about it all the time. I'd like to be pleasing to God. You know, I'd like to be that guy that gets up in the middle of the night and prays with her, with his wife. Will you pray for me so that I could do that? When I hear her praying, I'll get up and pray with her. I snore with her. She says, "Are you praying?" I said, "Yes, I'm through my nose." Some people pray in tongues, I pray in nose. And so, you didn't get that, did you? You don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, here's the truth about these things. If we're going to please God, it's so important for us to realize that faithfulness is something that God's looking for. It's so easy for us to quit. It's so easy for us to give up. It's so easy for us to stop. It's more comfortable. It feels better. But guess what? In order to please God, in order for you to get your families blessed, and you know you want it, you're going to have to learn, and so am I, to be faithful in these little things that God has brought to our life. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, in verse number 5, watch this, check it out. Exodus, the 19th chapter, verse number 5. I love this word. I taught you this before. The biggest little word in the Bible. Does anybody remember what the biggest little word in the Bible is? Could you tell me?
Yes.
Okay, now watch this. Now, it says, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So he comes along and says, if you do this. Now someone says, well, where's the word faithfulness in there? It's in your doing. It's in your if part. If you do what you say, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then he comes along. You'll be you're not a special treasure until you start realizing how important it is for us to be faithful to the things of God. Very important for us. What good is it if you're not faithful to the things of the Lord? And we'll never be faithful to the things of the Lord if we haven't even practiced being faithful to the things of this planet. We ought to be able to be faithful to something, make a commitment, stick with a commitment. Yes, even if it hurts. The Bible says that you swear to your own hurts at times. In other words, you're making a commitment to something. You don't want to do it, but you keep on doing it. It's in those times that it becomes blessings to God. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to study. I don't want to go to church again. This is maybe the second time in a week that I've gone to church. Some of you used to go to church 2-3 times a week. You're cooling off, and now you're only coming once a week. And you know something? You used to go all the time, but it's in those little faithful things that you do that open the door to pleasure God and bring you to a place of being a treasure before his eyes so that you get blessed. God's good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Fourth thing I want to share with you about things to know about the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness that he requires of us is number 4. You got to get this one. Unfaithful people fail. Just as simple as that. They just don't make it. Unfaithful people are people who say yes to one thing and give up something else. You know, I want to tell you the story of, you've heard it a million times, but let me share it with you just one more time. Of the children of Israel, they're coming out of the bondage for 400 years with the Egyptian. You know the story. And God wants to take them in to a place of blessing. The story is not about Israel. The story is not about them coming out of bondage. The story is about you. And the story is about me. We were in bondage. And God wants us to come out of the bondage and go into our promised land. The one thing about Israel is they knew that God was going to provide for them. They had heard about it for hundreds of years. The promised land was theirs. And when it came time for them to take it, they went in to the promised land as spies, 12 spies. And you know the story, how they went in and they came back and 10 of the 12 said, "No, we can't do this. We're but grasshoppers in our own eyes and in their eyes, and we can't make it." And that which God wanted to bless them for, they failed at accomplishing. God wants to take you to your personal promised land. Can you imagine such a thing? But if you refuse to go into Canaan land, you refuse to go into the promised land because it looks tough or it's hard or there's giants in the land or there's problems or obstacles and you don't know how to make it, it doesn't seem logical. It's just not going to be there. Can I tell you something? Your faithfulness will be tried and tried, and you'll never get to the place where you want to be until you are faithful in the things of God. They had to wait until the entire generation died off. And in the next generation, they come up and they get into the promised land, and it's everything God promised them it would be. Guys, can I just say something to you? Tonight, we're looking at this simple message about being faithful. A simple message. God wants you to go into your personal promised land. That's the desires that are inside of your heart. They're not there by mistake. God planted them in there. It's the freedom that you've experienced that you see. It's the taste that you know that it's ahead of you. You can see yourself entering into that particular spot. And God wants to take you there. But if you refuse to be faithful, you refuse to adhere to what he has to say, you refuse to go forward and back off because of the problems that are set before you, you will never make it. I want you to hear old grandpa for just a moment, because you never had grandpa ever tell you anything. Here's a grandpa telling you something. So let me be your grandpa just for a moment. And I want you to hear what I'm about to say. You will never do anything great in your life without resistance, without something coming against you, without a fight, without a war, without something trying to stop you. But I'm here to tell you something. When you're faithful to what God has said, when you're faithful to what God has committed, when you're faithful to the dream, the vision that God has dropped on the inside of you, when you're faithful to those things and you're not gonna back off, you're like a bulldog with a piece of meat. I'm here to tell you something. Get ready, it's around the corner. But I want you to know something. You and I are called by God to be faithful. Without that, my friends, none of us make it. Joseph, what if he had given up halfway? What if he had gone off with Potiphar's wife? You know, she wanted a him. And he said, I will not sin. You know what that means. We're in church. If we weren't in church, we could say something else, but we're in church. We won't say that. But let me just say this to you. Listen, what if he didn't, when he remained not faithful to God? Would he have ever become the prime minister of the entire world and controlled the things that he had ahead of him? He had years and years and years of problems and pressures ahead of him. And yet he had a great ending with great things taking place. What about David if he was running from Saul and he decided, I've had enough? And David did have a few times when in moments that he had enough, he'd even climbed into a cave and there he was lost and found himself as a leader of a tribe of a bunch of losers. But yet at the same time, David finally gets to the place where he strengthens himself in the things of God, gets back in line. Some of you have not been faithful, but it's not too late to strengthen yourself in God, get back to where you need to be, doing what God called you to do, and stop this foolishness of going in the wrong direction, because people who are unfaithful will fail. What would happen in the life of Paul if he said, the ministry is too tough for me. This is crazy. You give me a mandate to preach the gospel to the entire world. I'm ready to do that. I want to tell them about the dispensation of grace. Oh, I'm ready to do that. You've spoken to me about great and mighty and marvelous things. I'm ready to do that. What in the world are you doing throwing me in prison? What are you doing beating my back? This is a lousy, lousy ministry you've given me, and complain. Unfaithful people fail. Paul was successful writing 2/3 of the New Testament. His writings to this day are read by more people on this planet than any other writing that there's ever been. Right now, today, more people read him than anybody else on the planet. Why? Because he was faithful in those tough times. Will you have tough times? You better believe you're gonna have tough times. But I got good news for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen, I got good news here. All things are possible to him that believes. I got good news from you. Let me tell you something. God's a God that opens doors that no man can open and closes doors. I like those closed doors. That closes doors no man can close. He's a God that cannot, will not, and shall not fail on your behalf. And he's just looking for someone just like you that'll be faithful to the things of God. Come on, somebody, say amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.